Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 18. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Idle feast and the Lord's Supper. Therefore, my dear friends, flee not from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. Sorry. You need to find something felty, like to put on that maybe, like something felty. You know, one of the things I appreciate about worship is how, you can really have a theme, you can have a direction that you're going, and yet sometimes that theme does intercept really well with what's going on in the world and things that are just kind of a heaviness to us as we watch the news throughout the week. And so I really appreciate the choir. Thank you for that song, On Peace, and I think that connects with all of us with the restlessness of what we feel when we catch the news, when we see the war that is now going on over in the Middle East. So continued prayers. So if I had thought probably more deeply about this, I could have probably made the next 3 weeks into a sermon series. Like I would have just packaged it all together. Because over the next 3 weeks, we're going to focus on purpose in life. And so next week, I'm going to have an interview with somebody. Haven't done that in quite a while. Mike Pearson, he's a former Walmart executive. He's from Arkansas. And Mike worked along all the other national top-level executives of Walmart in his career. That's where he was. Mike died on the table twice. He died twice, two different events, not even the same events. He's died twice. And with one of those, he had what we call today a near-death experience that he's going to share with us. And his near-death experience, something he saw, something he experienced as he was dying, changed his life, clarified his purpose when they brought him back. And so next week he's going to come, he's going to share that story with us about how that near-death experience focused his purpose. This week, the week after that, so at the end of the month, we're going to talk about the challenge of stewarding our gifts, stewarding your gifts, what's your life's purpose and your life's work. We have our All Saints Day potluck. I know it's a week early, but we wanted to have that a week early. And we're going to talk about some opportunities for you to continue in participation within the life of your church. Today, we are talking about something that can steal your joy and divert focus from your purpose in life. This is a distractor. This is something that does not help us, and it's when we compare ourselves to others, when we fall into the game of comparison. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Garcia, he was a NextGen director from the conference office. He came, spoke very well. He shared with us some of the staggering statistics about anxiety and depression amongst our young people today in the United States. He talked to us about how social media has, in many ways, created a kind of a horrible culture for this comparison culture for our teenagers, right? Of constantly seeing people living their best lives and what all they're doing and how they look and how that's affected teenagers. But if we're honest, here's what we know. It's not just teenagers. It's adults too. We all still kind of succumb to this. We all still have these moments of comparing. You don't outgrow it. I think you get better in some ways, but in some ways it's still always there for us. It's just something we do very naturally. We did it long before social media ever existed, but social media does intensify the problem that has been with us for thousands of years of just finding reasons to compare. This morning, I'm going to show you a music video. It's from a young lady. She has exited her teens. She's no longer a teenager. I believe she's 20, and her name's Olivia Rodrigo. She started her career at the age of 12 doing an Old Navy commercial. She acted on Disney's High School Musical, if you're familiar with that. And her music career took off in 2020. She was just 17 years old, and now music is her sole focus, having left the acting career. So we're going to watch and listen to a song called Jealousy, Jealousy. And as you watch and as you listen to this song, I want you to think as if Olivia is your granddaughter, your daughter, your sister, right? Like she's your family member. And if your family member put out a song like this, what would you want her to know? What would you be concerned about? For those of you watching online, we're going to mute out the music. We had an experience last week. We had a movie clip we watched, and YouTube kind of shut us down. And so you thought you caught the end of the sermon. You actually didn't. And so in order to keep that from happening again today, for those of you watching online, you won't have audio for about 3 minutes, so don't try to adjust it. It'll come back. So let's watch this video and then have a short conversation. So Olivia is your granddaughter, she's your daughter, she's your sister. You see this video. What do you say to her? What are your concerns for her? What do you think? Anyone? Huh? I love you just the way you are. Yeah. You're pretty good the way you are. Anybody else? I heard some things over here. You need to get help? Yeah. You might need to get help. Yeah, that's, there's some, yeah. Yep. Beauty's on the inside. Yep. So cherish that. Look for that. Anything else that you... Is this what our kids, is this what they're doing at school? Is this really... It's a struggle. It's a struggle. Yeah. It's a... Huh? But they are struggling. They are struggling. It is a struggle. And this song kind of makes it aware for us. She sounds kind of depressed and angry, doesn't she? Depressed and angry. Now, I'm hoping this song is just her speaking on behalf of thousands of teenage girls everywhere, and not really what she's going through. But then again, I kind of hope that's not what it is either, but I think that's what it is. I think that's the experience. The painful truth is that comparison kills joy. Comparison kills joy. And when it kills joy, it replaces it with something else. What does it tend to replace joy with? What other emotions? What are the emotions that it replaces it with? Huh? You say love? I was going the opposite direction. When it kills, your joy, when jealousy or something kills your joy, the emotion that's left is anger. Yeah, anger and sadness. And maybe depression, right? Depression settles in for those of us that have experienced depression. Speaking of anger and comparison, I ran into an amazing article last week. It was in The Atlantic. The article is entitled, How America Got Mean. And it came out August 14th. Subtitle is, In a culture devoid of moral education, generations are growing up in a morally inarticulate, self-referential world. And so Brooks starts this article out kind of in a low note, almost echoing the words of Rodrigo in kind of his journalistic way. And so here's what he says. He says, over the past 8 years or so, I've been obsessed with two questions. The first is, why have Americans become so sad? The rising rates of depression have been well publicized, as have the rising deaths of despair from drugs, alcohol, and suicide. But other statistics are similarly troubling. The percentage of people who say they don't have close friends has increased fourfold since 1990. The share of Americans aged 25 through 54 who weren't married or living with a romantic partner went up to 38% in 2019 from 29% in 1990. A record high 25% of 40-year-old Americans have never married. More than half of all Americans, more than half, say that no one knows them well. The percentage of high school students who report persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness shot up from 26% in 2009 to 44% in 2021. Brooks goes on to say his second question is, if his first question is why are people so sad, his second question is why are people so angry? People become more sad and angry. And so he goes on, offers some perspectives of others, and then gives his own perspectives. And here's what he says. He says, the most important story about why Americans have become sad and alienated and rude, I believe, is also the simplest. We inhabit a society in which people are no longer trained in how to treat others with kindness and consideration. Our society has become one in which people feel licensed to give their selfishness free rein. The story I'm going to tell you is about morals. In a healthy society, a web of institutions, families, schools, religious groups, community organizations, and workplaces helps form people into kind and responsible citizens, the sort of people who show up for one another. We live in a society that's terrible at moral formation. I love the phrase in there, people who show up for one another. I do think small town does a really good job at showing up for one another. Like I've been in several, and that is a highlight of small town. Now, even though it doesn't mean that small town or small town church people are void of the struggle of comparing ourselves to other people in a way that can lead us to sadness and anger in our lives. We're still susceptible to that. I appreciate that the author of this article, he sees community churches as a part of the solution to what is happening in our nation. Always feels good when I read a paper that's positive about the church, an article that's positive about the church, because it is. It is a place that lifts up the importance of living, hopefully, virtuously. Jesus lived virtuously. His godly values led to godly actions. That's what we love about him. It all lined up so well. He lived with great purpose. And the purpose that he had, it gave him joy and meaning, and he wanted the same for his followers. And so he called disciples to himself and said, this is our pattern of right thinking, right living. Friends, there are many ways you can think about your life. Many ways. How you fit into this giant world that we live in. How you're a part of this giant world. There are ways to think about your life that will lead you into joyful living. And there are ways to think about your life that will lead you to sadness and disconnection. And if you're regularly comparing your life to someone else's life, then you are likely on the road to anger and sadness and disconnection. It's what's happening in our community this morning. Choosing to think about your life this way is not only damaging to you, it is actually damaging to our entire society when we as individuals choose to let comparison fill us with sadness and anger and cause us to distance ourselves. And I believe social media was an experiment that has kind of proven this theory. As the more we have seen of, hey, this is what's going on, that's great, that trying to have that type of connection with so many people has actually led us in society being more greatly disconnected from each other. So I want to encourage you to think about yourself and your life differently. I want you to make the decision today to switch. If you're in this comparison game, I want to offer you an alternative today. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians. He encouraged them to make a switch as well. They had some thinking issues that they had to address. And he shares with them a reason why they struggle to make the shift, and then a couple reasons how they can do it. Here's what you got to do. And so I want to encourage you today in the same way that Paul encouraged the Corinthians. This works for us. So, just like where we live, Paul's talking to a pluralistic culture there in Corinth. The Greeks and the Romans worshipped many gods. Many gods. The church in Corinth likely had some people who had left other gods to choose Christ and Christian community. They had Zeus or Apollo or whatever and left that for Christ. A common way people used to worship their gods was through idols. Idols. Idols were these little statues, right? And so they would carve these little statues. They would take wood and they would take stone and they would carve these little idols of their gods. And they were earthly representations imbued by their believer with divine power, as if that god had placed an essence of himself or herself within that little idol. And they would worship those little idols. They put them in their homes. They had a place for them. They would give them gifts. They would give them little thimbles full of wine or honey or different things like that. I would give my idol coffee. that would be my blessing to them, is some really good coffee, right? And so Paul tells the Corinthians, they need to flee from this practice. Flee from this. Don't just stop it. Flee from it. Because they could have worshipped Jesus in the same way. And they might actually be doing that in this community. We don't know, but it could have happened. They could have carved up a neat little statue of Jesus or Jesus on the cross and put it in a place in their house and bowed down to it and worshipped that little Jesus statue, right? Friends, it's a normal temptation for us as people. It's really normal to want to be able to see something tangible, to feel it, to worship it. But we understand God differently than other religions have historically. Something different about Christianity. We see God as present in all things. I dare say we see God everywhere and nowhere. Everywhere and nowhere. And here's what I mean by that. You see, it is through God's energy, through God's power, that all things came into existence within the universe, the world, us. It is that divine energy that has steered all things, that is present in all things, right? So that is how he is everywhere, but he is also nowhere because we can't see him in the same way that we see each other. His tangible, physical presence, there he is. There's my God. And so Paul did not want to reduce God down to an idol because God never wanted to be reduced down to an idol. He always told the Israelites, do not do this. And, you know, last week with communion, we talked about God as the great mystery. And so we embrace the mystery of God in him being everywhere and nowhere all at once. When we compare ourselves to others, we are grieving our individuality because all we see is separateness. How I am separate from someone, how I am less than someone else. And so we look at someone else's life and think their life is so much better than ours. What a great life they have. Because they are better than us at something. Like we want to be better, but they're better. Or they have something we want. We've always wanted that and they have it. Or they have more than we have. And we're jealous, jealousy, jealousy. Because they have more than us. We become distracted by what we see, and we forget that life is so much more than what you can see and touch and feel. We forget that God's beautiful presence is alive in all things and in all people. God is present all around us, right? And so idol worship is about reducing. It's about reducing something very large into something very small. It's about reducing something very powerful into something I can control and pick up and move and manipulate and see. And this is exactly what you're doing when you compare yourself to anyone else. You are engaging in idol worship. You're reducing a very small aspect of someone else's life, and you are assuming everything else in their life must be great. I do that all the time. I idolize people all the time. I see some aspect of their life and think they, and then I talk to them, and I'm like, oh, wow, they got some other stuff going on. But I fantasize in my head about how they got it all together because of just a few things, right? You are reducing your life down to what you don't have or what you feel that you're missing, that you've always yearned for. And so it's no wonder the prophets of the Old Testament, they said that idol worship made God sad and angry. Warn the Israelites, if you do this, if you worship idols, it makes God sad and angry. Because when you reduce yourself down this way too, guess what? It makes you sad and angry when you reduce your life down to what you don't have, what you haven't experienced. So Paul says, look, there's an alternative to this idol worship. We've got something else. It happens often. And so consider this often. In verse 16, he says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? And so Paul is using the elements of communion, the bread and the cup that we celebrate, participate in once a month, right, as the better alternative to idol worship, communion, the better alternative. And so instead of having idols that you can see and that you can focus on, come to the communion table with community. Come with others. Paul goes on to say that the cup, when you go to the cup, let it remind you to be thankful. always approach the communion table with thanksgiving in your heart and thankfulness. And then he goes on to say, and the bread reminds us that we are participating in the whole body of Christ, this body, this church, all the other churches, right? All of our brothers and sisters. You see, the challenge is when we just compare ourselves to other people, it tends to do two things. Here's the two things it tends to do when you compare yourself. First, you tend to feel regret for the choices that you made in life that led you to where you are now. Gosh, if I just made the decisions they had made, I'd be in a different place today. I'd have what I want. So what ends up happening? You don't feel thankful about life when you regret your life. You don't see the things you should be thankful for, the family, the friends, the place that you live, all the other things that you're not thinking about anymore. You tend to overlook a great many things that went right in your life because you've reduced your life down to a few things that went wrong. Second, when you are sad and angry, because this is what happens, right? Like I'm comparing myself, I'm not thankful, now I'm sad and angry. Kind of like Olivia at the beginning of this, right? When you're sad and angry about your life for that reason, you tend to isolate yourself from community. You tend to isolate yourself. If you feel less than others, then you don't want to be around them. And I would say this, worse than this, here's the practice. Some of you are like, hey, I showed up, Pastor Jim, here I am, right? Like, it's not me. But sometimes we show up, but we don't show up. Like, you're with people, but you're not with people. You're with people, but they don't really know who you are because you haven't told them. You don't let them in on that. Right? Like, you're not fully present. You're not vulnerable. Because they're living the good life. If you're vulnerable, they're going to think, my gosh, you know, I'm a mess. That's what they're going to think. So I'm not going to share that. And this is exactly how comparison steals your joy. The way that you get your joy back is doing the opposite of those two things. Demonstrate gratitude for who you are. Prayers of thanksgiving all the time. What you have, the choices that you have made, being thankful for all of that. And do this, celebrate that you are a very important part of a group of people. Your church, your community, your neighborhood, your family. Celebrate your place within other people and other communities. Doing this is worship to God. This is our worship when we do these things. Friends, you were celebrated by God. You were created by God out of a sense of His wonder and pleasure is why He formed you. You were blessed with a name. You were placed on a path. You were given gifts and abilities. You were placed in a community of people who knows who it is simply because you're a part of it. Who we are is you and us. And you cannot fully celebrate who we are unless you can fully celebrate who you are as well, as a part of us. I think that's why Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself and not love your neighbor more than yourself. Because it's all right there. It's all right there. I dare to say this. It is idolatrous for you to compare yourself or your path or your giftedness to anyone else in the world. I dare say that. And notice it's idolatrous, not adulterous. Just wanted to clarify the two. It is idolatrous for you to compare yourself to others. Doing so, if you do this, it means you have reduced someone else or you have reduced yourself down really to things that are untrue. They're untruths that you've created. You are simply to be grateful for who you are and who we are with you as a part of us. You are a celebrated part of us. So I would encourage all of us this week, here's our challenge, I would encourage all of us this week to meditate on this truth this week. This is our frame of thought. This is the way we are to think about ourselves. and about our place in the world and the body of Christ, especially if you've been comparing yourself lately. Like you're kind of thinking, you're like, yeah, I've been doing this lately. It's been kind of a struggle. It's been a challenge. All right, we're going to get out of that this week, aren't we? Friends, life is too short for us to get stuck in this kind of thinking, this comparison thing. Just too short. You don't want to get stuck there. Have you been stuck there? Like you know people that are stuck there. I've got friends that are stuck there. I've been stuck there. We don't want to get stuck there. You have more important things to do with your life than to be stuck in that. So many things to be thankful for with your life. So much of your life left to enjoy from this moment forward. So that's what we're going to do, right? Yes. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that, Lord, we just naturally, it's the comparison thing, and it wrecks lives. It destroys lives. It's destroyed us. It's led us to bouts of anxiety and depression. It's hard on our young people today, and so we say a prayer for them, and we say a prayer for us, that you would help us to understand just gratitude, that thankfulness would be our response. And we would hear it in our conversations with other people. We'd pick up on it when we're talking to people. We would think, oh my gosh, I sounded so grateful in that conversation. And Lord, that we would recognize that a lot of our importance is that we belong to a body. We belong to a people. We have a place here. And we are valued here. We value ourselves. We value our neighbor. So, Lord, help us in this throughout the week. Lord, would you convict any minds and hearts in here that are off the path that you desire for us to be on, Lord? It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.